Thank you, God, for your word. Make it alive. Lord, I pray we would all understand the power of prayer. We see Jesus praying continually, being with the Father. Lord, we see the mistakes made when people don't pray. It is so important that this message burn on our hearts and encourage us to pray and win victories. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praying always with all prayer. The last few weeks, we put on the whole armor of God. So everyone's dressed up in here today, if you've been here the last couple of weeks. So that's good. We put on the whole armor of God. And maybe God has spoken to you about a certain piece, and maybe you've put that part on and you feel like you've had a victorious week. Praise the Lord. The equipment we need to be victorious against the devil and his army. But then we read in verse 18, praying always with all prayer. Now, prayer is not actually part of the armor of God, but so necessary in our lives to be victorious. We put on the whole armor of God, and then he tells us to pray always. The way we think of prayer, you might say prayer is the energy, the motivation, the atmosphere, the thing that surrounds us, that enables us, motivates us to fight the good fight of faith. Prayer is what is the encourager and enabler. Even though we have the whole armor of God on, you see, in the human realm, in certain professions and in athletics, there are people or coaches who pump you up, who exhort you, who encourage you, and actually get you to do the things that you can do through being equipped for them and to go on and finish. You know, they're there and they get you going and they fire you up. It gets one to continue on. It gets a person to face the challenge. Encouragement to do what you are able to do. In our case as Christians, we have prayer, where we talk to God in prayer and we are encouraged by reminding ourselves he's there for us. And we're really using his power. You see? It gets us to focus. Prayer gets us to focus. That, hey, it's not me. You know, when David went out against Goliath, the odds were in David's favor. I don't know why they always say when there's a big challenge, well, this is like David and Goliath. Well, David wasn't the one that had the power. Because he says, the battle is the Lord's. I go out in the name of the Lord. And that's what prayer does. It reminds us, guess who's our motivator? God. Guess who's our encourager? God. Prayer enables us, Christian, it stirs us up and gives us the energy and winning attitude to go on with the whole armor of God every day and face the battle. Otherwise, you won't want to get out of bed. You can be dressed in the whole armor of God and say, I'm not getting up today. And God's saying, get up. And as you start praying, all of a sudden you take 1 foot out of the bed, then 2 feet out of the bed, and you stand up and say, hey, I got up. And here I am at church this morning, and I didn't think I'd make it. It's prayer and focusing on God that gets us to do it. We have the victory. Jesus said we're more than conquerors, and we have the whole armor of God. What's the problem? Us. Our focus. That's where prayer comes in. We can be clothed with the whole armor of God and not go forward and be fearful. We could still be fearful with the whole armor of God on. When I was a young boy, you know, those little plastic men and toys used to be popular, the army men and all the instruments, and you know, you'd buy a package and you'd set them up and you'd battle each other. You'd set them up one on this side and that side. I never felt I had enough. you know, you got only three men over here with nothing, with swords, and you got all these tanks and things and 1,000 pieces over here. No, I got to add some more. Got to buy some more. That's the way a Christian can feel. I've got the whole armor of God on, but I'm not using it. I'm not getting out there facing the battle of life, not going forward, fearful, missing victories, because we forget that we're going out in the power and might of the Lord. And I'm dressed up with armor. Now, if we could see the armor, boy, that armor that the knights used to wear, we'd know we've got it on. But we can't see these things. That's why we pray, to have spiritual eyes, to go out in the Lord's power. Remember what it said there in verse 10? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You are weak. You do have no power. I am weak. I don't have any power. But God is strong. God is strong. Don't introspect. Don't look at yourself. Focus on God. And how do we focus on God? Prayer. Get the right idea of prayer. It isn't a written thing that I do at a certain time in a certain place. It's talking to God. Communication is the key in everything. Communication with God is prayer. That's it. Not very theological, is it? So if anyone ever asks you to write a paper on prayer, just say, communication with God is prayer, and hand it in. And let them find fault with it. You see, we forget at times. Now, we don't really forget, do we? We don't forget. It's just that we get our eyes off of the Lord and the things we have. We know it's there because when someone comes along and encourages you, you say, well, I know that. I knew that. Why wasn't I doing it? I knew that. Because we put it aside. But when you're communicating continually with God, it's always there. It's like having the phone to God off the hook at all times. So anytime you need to speak, it's open. You know, we sometimes don't stand against the wiles of the devil, not really forgetting the things we have in order, but we lose sight of them. Wow, I need to be communicating with God. It's constantly reminding ourselves that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. And every time I share this, I'll bet you there's people that hear this saying, well, you don't know my situation. Because I can remember as an early Christian hearing these verses, nothing is impossible with God, nothing's too hard for the Lord, and all things work together for good to those that love God. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's not true in my case. No, I wouldn't stand up and say that because I'm a good Christian. And people might think less of me. But you think it in your mind. These scriptures are for you, they're for me, and they're real. We just need to get our focus right. Focus on God, communicate with God. It's a constant reminder that power is in the Lord. See, the Roman soldier, and if you've got a handout here a couple of weeks ago, if you look at that handout, the Roman soldier had all the armor on. In his day, he was a winner. They had the best swords, they had the whole armor, and they were trained. They had it all. They became conquerors. But that Roman soldier, who had all the benefits, all the armor on, could still feel inadequate and even let fear grip his heart. If you introspect, if you look at yourself, you need to look at what you have, what I have. And we Christians have the Lord. There's not one situation in this room that the Lord can't work out for good. Not one. See, what the Roman soldier needed was a commander, a leader, to prompt him, to pump him up, to energize him, a reminder of how powerful he was with that armor. Now go out there and get victory. Guess who does that for us? God. We get our minds off of our commander, our leader. Maybe this past few weeks, after learning about the whole armor of God, you still walked in here today feeling down, defeated, overwhelmed, inadequate, unsure, and you wonder, what in the world is wrong? Your focus, my focus, eyes off of the Lord. We keep our eyes on the Lord. God's giving us a pep talk this morning, saying, get with it. Don't be afraid. Just go out there in the strength and power of the Lord. In verse 18, that's why he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. I keep that victorious attitude and energy flowing by communicating with God. Continually communicating with God. Okay, God's there, God's there. Something comes up, God's there. I pray. You know, people have said, what three things do I do when in need? You know, the three things are pray, pray, pray. That's what we do. Praying always means really praying about everything, every situation, everything in our life is what it means. It means it's a continual habit of mine. I have committed my life to the Lord, and I am communicating with him always. Now, if I say, you know how we say, well, we do a lot of things always. Well, I'm always eating. Well, it doesn't mean you're always eating, or you wouldn't be able to speak. And you can say, you know, a lot of the things we say, I always do this. Well, you don't really mean always. You mean it's always on your mind. You know, you can walk by someone and say, yeah, you know, that looks good. But you're not physically doing that all the time. This is what this means. You're praying always. Of course, you function daily. You work, you talk, you do things. But he's always on your mind. There to communicate with. We work, we do things. But when I work, I pray. Pray over the work I do. When I eat, I pray over the meals I eat. When I do anything in life or make a decision, I pray what to do. In other words, I'm praying always over every activity in my life. It's like Phil was sharing. You know, he says, hey, don't you think it's a good thing for us to pray first? You know, even as kings, hey, let's pray. We shouldn't need to be told that. If the Lord is always on our mind, we automatically do that. If I left the house in the morning without praying, I would probably drive back home and pray. That's how serious I am about it. You just have to cover your day. It has to be done because God's my life. And only he knows the plan today. And I want it to be right, my life. So we everything we do, God is in our mind. I'm aware, in other words, I'm aware of God. It can be a very short prayer at times, like, God help me. God, left or right. He's just on your mind. You realize he's the one that's going to direct you. Or else you're going to be directed by yourself in making a decision. There are no-brainers in life. Well, that's a no-brainer. I don't have to pray about that. Yes, you do. That's probably the thing you need to pray about. Because the enemy knows, oh, they're weak in that area. They don't even pray about it because they think they're so smart. I can get them there. You see how wily he is? He schemes. He knows where to shoot those arrows. So we need to constantly have this become a habit in our life. We need to really fall in love with God, where we have pledged our allegiance to Him, and He is our life. And we know He loves us, He's our dad, and He's going to take care of every situation in my life. But it's not a legal relationship. You know, many countries, they organize marriages at an early age. People have no choice. I would hate that. That's a legal relationship. We have a loving relationship, but we need to fall in love with God so that He consumes us. And it's not a religious thing where I've got to do this, and I've got to pray about this, and I've got to do what God wants in this situation. And you're really stressing out. It's just a habit, because you so love God that I want to talk to Him about every situation in my life, because He's going to counsel me correctly. Isn't that wonderful when that just becomes natural and free-flowing? And wow. And then you really understand what it is to have a mother-father relationship, a son-father relationship with God. It's just, He's there. And as I pray, I keep my mind on Him, and I'm aware of Him. Did you ever talk to someone about an issue in your life? Something's been troubling you, and you have a dear friend, or you meet someone at the church, and you talk to them about it. And as you were talking to them, they shared with you, they brought you comfort, they gave you scripture, and you walk away feeling better. Ever have that happen in your life? Oh, you just feel, circumstances haven't changed, but you just feel better. That's what prayer is. Talk to God, lay it out, listen, and walk away feeling better. God has the answers. Just know, though, that, hey, and the difference between sharing with people and sharing with God is He has the power to do anything. We don't. I feel bad when someone walks away and there's no way I can help them. Because you can't. God can. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the way our lives have to become as a Christian. In a busy society, in an electronic society as we live in today, there's less personal communication. You have more than 32 or 64 or 360 characters with God. You have all the characters you want. And He never gets tired of listening. Isn't that great? You can talk to God about anything. Prayer. That's communicating with God, and you'll feel better. My prayer life shouldn't be sporadic. It's not scheduled or localized like you would for eating or exercising or sleeping, certain time, certain place. That's not the way. You don't fit prayer into there, into that schedule. It's not an item you schedule. It means my prayer life, you know, it's spontaneous. At any time, I communicate with God. You know, it's just habit. I just do it at any time, and I know God hears. And it's wonderful to know that you have this person right here that you could talk to at any time, and it's God. Isn't that wonderful? So that's why He says, pray always. You know, when people read that, they think, oh, I have to constantly be praying. Well, you'd have a hard time driving, you've had a hard time eating, you've had a hard time doing anything or working and doing your job. But you can be doing your job and praying. Because God's on your mind, a decision comes up, and you're, oh, God, help me make this right decision. There's your prayer. You see? It's not a religious thing. It's a supernatural activity on our part to pray and communicate with God. You know, like I said, we want to make this a love relationship where, wow, I've just got God in my life and He's there for me to handle everything in my life. Isn't this wonderful? I don't have to wait to get a hold of somebody or read a book or anything. There's my God, my Father, just right there helping me all along in life. And it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There are different kinds of prayer. It says praying always with all prayer. There's private prayer. There's, and we read all of these in the Bible. There's public prayer, general prayer, out loud prayer, quiet prayer, spontaneous. Thanksgiving is prayer. Praising is prayer. Confession, intercession, praying for others. That's praying always. You know, use the whole area of life to pray. It touches everything. That's all prayer. It's just communicating with God. And it isn't where you have to say certain things. You know, people say, well, I don't pray because you pray much so much better than me. I feel awkward in praying. Talk to God in your way. Talk to God in your way. He knows what you're saying. You don't have to be an eloquent speaker to pray. You just talk to God. When you meet someone, do you have a hard time speaking with them? No. When you meet them, you say hi, and they bring up a topic you like, and you start talking, you could go on for hours. That's prayer with God. You see, it doesn't have to be eloquent. God looks at the heart. He knows what's in here. He knows what you're saying. Just be communicating with God. Thank Him. Pray for other people. Pray for strength, wisdom, patience, your daily bread. Just keep your eyes and talk to your Father. And then He says, pray with supplications in the Spirit. In the Spirit. As Christians, we walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We're guided by the Holy Spirit. Our prayers will be prompted by the Holy Spirit and not our flesh if we yield to the Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit in everything, including our prayer life. We don't want to pray in the flesh. We'll be praying for a new this or a new that or a better this or a better that or more money or more this. We want to, what He's saying is pray in the Spirit. Let God just prompt you, the Holy Spirit prompt you. Prayer is not a way to achieve our will on earth, but to achieve God's will on earth. That's why we pray, so we can achieve God's will on earth. He knows what's best for us. You will have a great life if you yield your life to God. When you try to form your, Jesus said, who seeks to save his life will lose it. But if you surrender your life to him, you'll save it. The only way you're going to have the best life you can have here is to lose it in the Lord and let him put it together. He can do better than you can, you see? So we pray in the Spirit to the Father, through the Son. He's given us access. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. He's healed the relationship. To the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. Guided by the Holy Spirit so that God's will is achieved in our life and we don't miss out on blessings. See, Christians are born again. We're new people in Christ. We don't have a religion. We just have this relationship with God now. We've been made spiritually alive and dwelt with the Holy Spirit. And we obey the Spirit in our life. We live in the Spirit, guided by the Spirit. And we have the Spirit prompt us on how to pray. You know you're praying in the Spirit by getting off of praying in the Spirit. When you start to pray for something that you know is fleshly, and you know when you're in the flesh and when you're in the Spirit, when you're a Christian. You know that. And if you start to feel guilty, you know you're in the flesh when you're praying. So stop and start over. Say, God, help me to pray. And we know when we're in the Spirit or in the flesh. I do. And it's awful to find out sometime you're in the flesh. Just yield to the Spirit. Let God guide us. And God's will be done. Sometimes the prayer is very simple. 2-3 words. Sometimes 100 words. I don't know. But the Spirit knows. It's a wonderful thing, though, to know God is always there. Always. And so we're to pray in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Being watchful to this end. We pray and we watch. We have the whole armor of God on. We pray and we watch to the end. Watching means keep alert. Don't sleep. Don't get lazy. We can get very lazy in our prayer life. We stop talking to God. We have to watch. Secret of victory, watch and pray to the end. Mark 14, if you'd like to turn to Mark 14, verse 38. Mark 14, verse 38. Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He says, watch and pray. We're alert for the devil working things around us, attacking. We watch and we pray. Turn back to Mark 13, verse 33. "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." Watch and pray. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. You know what? The devil doesn't sleep. It'd be nice if we were told, hey, from midnight to 6, he's not working. Then we could do all our business from midnight to 6. But he never sleeps. He's out there shredding people, devouring people. If you want to protect yourself and your family and the church, pray. Pray over all that. Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem when they had come back from captivity. And God used him to rebuild those walls. And as he was rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, they had opposition. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Way back in the Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. So he's back there ready to rebuild the wall. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. Maybe you're trying to rebuild your life. Resolve a situation in your life. Well, know this, you will have attack. The walls of Jerusalem were, that was their safety. This was God protecting them. Even there was an attack, doing a good thing. And here it is. Became furious to people. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Trying to bring in discouragement. You aren't going to put things together. Now Tobiah and the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, Whatever they build, if even a fox goes on it, he will break down their stone wall. They're doing such a lousy job that even if a little fox runs on it, he's going to bring down the wall. That's how feeble it will be. Do you ever get a lot of discouragement from the enemy? Then his prayer, verse 4. "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. Hey, wow, they're really doing this thing. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. They prayed and they set a watch against them. So we pray But then we watch how the enemy is attacking. You see, we pray and we go out there in the armor of God and fight the battle. Set a watch, do whatever we have to do. And that's what they did. And guess what? It got rebuilt. We need to be alert to Satan's schemes and pray and watch. Because as we're watching and we see the enemy attacking in a certain area, we pray over that situation. Get them out of here. Work this out, Lord. Keep me from being tempted, whatever it takes. But if you're not watching, all of a sudden, bam, there's something in front of you. We need to pray over it before it even comes against us. So you watch and you pray. Now, this might sound like a lot of work for a Christian to do all this stuff. It's normal. It's habit forming. We love the Lord. We're just praying all the time, watching. God brings us victory. There's a few stories I wanted to share. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, read that on your own. We've shared that before about the power of prayer. But turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Second Chronicles 14, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 1. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place in the days the land was quiet for 10 years. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods, the high places, and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, and the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Isn't that wonderful? He was doing what the Lord wanted him to do, and things were great. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have prayed. We have sought him. He has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Hey, they were doing great because they were doing what God wanted. But even in that condition, the reason we watch is because the enemy is still attacking. Even though you're right in the center of the will of God, he's still going to attack. And so, verse 8, and Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin, 280,000 men. Well, that's quite a big army, isn't it? A little place like that. Who carried shields and drew bows. All those were mighty men of valor. Wow, 300,000 from Judah and from the tribe of Benjamin, 280,000 with bows and arrows. Sounds like they're pretty safe. Then, Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men. Oh, that doesn't look so good now, Lord. I thought I was all set. I thought I had everything together here. What's this trouble in my life? There's 1,000,000 people coming against me. Everything's wrong. Everyone hates me. Nothing's working out. Army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Maresha. So Asa, what did he do? Did he add more troops? Spend more money? What did he do? Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephath and Maresha. And Asa prayed. Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go out against the multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Circle that verse, 2 Chronicles 14:11, and use that as a model prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Look at that prayer. He cried out, and that's not a very long prayer. And it brought him victory. Look at the next verse. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Look at the prayer that brought victory. He said, Lord, he got the focus right. It is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. He said, it doesn't matter how many they have or what's coming against us and how little I have. That doesn't matter, Lord. It doesn't matter. It does in a flash, but it doesn't matter when your eyes are on the Lord. Even if we have no power, it doesn't matter. Help us, O Lord. There's your prayer. Help me, O Lord. Just help me. For we rest on you. It doesn't say wrestle, does it? Rest. Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm resting on you. This impossible situation is not impossible for you. We rest on you. And in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we soldiers for Christ go out there and we go against this multitude. Oh Lord, you are our God. See, we are his children. So anyone that attacks us is attacking him. So he put the battle right in the Lord's hands. God, are you going to let them beat you, prevail against you? Of course not. Oh Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. And they won. Isn't that wonderful? So we keep praying. And then at the end of verse 18 here, we read, we pray with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Perseverance, persistent prayer. We don't give up. Did you ever wonder how long you should continue in prayer for a situation? Well, you stop only when the Lord tells you to stop. He'll kind of remove that from your mind because the issue is settled. But if you are even asking the question, persevere in your prayer. Don't quit is what he's saying. Don't quit. Persevere. You might see many things that seem impossible through that praying, but you persevere. You don't let things get in your mind that are of the flesh. You persevere. You look at God's power. You persevere in prayer. You persevere. You persevere. You persevere. I've seen God work things out when everyone else thought it was over. Have you ever seen that? Everyone else thought it was over. But look, God laid it on your heart to pray. And you did. And you saw victory. Isn't that wonderful? And then you can go over to everyone and say, I told you so. No, we don't do that as Christians. But you're thinking that in your heart, you know, isn't it so wonderful that God did it? I'm just going to be nice and just go over to them and say, well, you know, God worked this out. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, Luke 18, verse 1, if you'd like to turn there, just one verse, Luke 18, verse 1. Speaking of Jesus, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So in other words, we lose heart when we don't pray. If you don't want to lose heart or give up, pray. Just pray. You know, in Acts chapter 12, you know the story of Peter was put in jail? And it says the church was continuing in prayer for him. Read Acts 12 on your own. The church was praying for him. The church gathered to pray Peter out of that jail. And guess what? They prayed him out of that jail. Isn't that wonderful? In Acts 12. Let's just turn there for a second. Acts 12, verse 1. Look what he did. In Acts 12, verse 1. Talking of Peter in verse 4, he arrested him and put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. That is just wonderful. Verse 7, Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hand. Hey, Peter, get up. You're getting out of here tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." So he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him. Then verse 12, he gets to the place where they were praying. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and many were gathered together praying. They're still praying. Now it's night. They're still in the house praying. They keep praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. That's kind of odd, isn't it? They're praying. There's a knock at the door, sounds like Peter. Wow, she ran away and told everybody, you know, rather than open the door. Let him in, get him out there and into the house. But they said to her, you're crazy, lady. This is the verse that really bothers me. You're beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so they said, "Ah, it's an angel." They're praying continually day after day. They're praying in the night. He knocks at the door. She comes and tells him, "Hey, it sounds like Peter." I said, "You're crazy." Did you ever go up to someone and say, "I can't believe God worked this out"? Well, why not? God answers prayer. It seems though when we're praying, sometimes we don't really know that God's going to do it. But he does. Even through our weak flesh, he does. So, and then he was freed and he was all set. Back to our text, the last thing, verse 18, and pray with supplication for all the saints. The word supplication means petition, asking. What he's saying here is pray for all the church, for other Christians. Pray for the saints. I think we forget to pray for one another. We all need prayer. The model prayer, a lot of you ladies went over it. It starts out how? Our Father who art in heaven. You notice it says our and not my? When he gathered them together, they prayed for one another. They were praying together. It doesn't say my Father who art in heaven. Our Father. It's our Father. So we need to pray for one another. He's our Father. And I think we forget that at times. We all need prayer. We need to pray for one another. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you've given us this privilege of prayer. As we come together Wednesday night to thank you, I pray you would lay your prayers and your thanks on our heart. And that we would have things that we would be willing to thank you for. Lord, it's so wonderful to have a Father who loves us, who wants to take care of everything in our life, who doesn't get tired of us or isn't too busy. Lord, keep our focus on you. That's going to happen through prayer. Being in that mode of knowing you're always there and we can communicate with you. There's so much, Lord, to share about prayer, but it boils down to just doing it in a loving relationship, knowing you want to help. Help us to have that attitude. Change our lives this morning, Lord. Bring us those victories. Open the doors. Bring things to pass. Give us the strength to go through whatever it is, but as we pray, let us just sense that victory and not get discouraged. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.